Father, Lord, we just I come asking again, Lord, for your spirit tonight, Lord, to give teaching, Lord, that you would strengthen our faith and our belief in you and in the account of creation and all that you did, Lord, and that we would believe you at your word and take man's wisdom out of it, and we can just look on the page that you did all this, Lord. So we just come and ask that you would bless tonight and the study of your word, and that we would fall more in love with you and in awe of your majesty and power. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, guys, kind of a cool segue from Mark, finishing up the Gospel of Mark and starting in Genesis, right? So as I look at Mark and as I consider as we start Genesis, and what the world says about Genesis and how the church and those outside trying to blend the world and make it flow in with what God's word says. And so I look at last time we were together and what Jesus came to the disciples to say. He upbraided them, it says in verse 14 of Mark 16, and of them, of their unbelief, of the testimony of all that they're hearing about Jesus rising from the dead and being resurrected, the good news that we talked about. And he upbraids them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So I come to a study as we start in Genesis 1. We're going to, Lord willing, get through the whole book of Genesis, starting in chapter 1. And as I consider, you know, face value, what it says, how smart do you have to be to understand God's word and how what God doesn't put in there, what he does put in there. And we had that video last week of the Westcott and Hort and their changing of the meanings of the words and how those versions are getting away from what God's word says and who God is and who Jesus is. And so I come to this. It says, God creating the heavens and the earth in verse 1, and we have the 6 days, right, of creation. 6 literal days, right? There was evening and there was morning, the first day. And so can we take God at his word, right? These young kids, as you grow up, these things that you're going to think about and consider, you're going to, you know, these are things that I thought about growing up. And then you might ask yourself, well, where did God come from, right? Because you might think, well, does God have a beginning and an end? And what, according to God's word, God is from everlasting. He has no beginning, right? God himself. And so we come to God's word and we have those on the outside. They're trying to add a gap theory. They're trying to add other things because of discovery of science. You might be hearing, maybe you've gone to museums or places and they'll say these dinosaurs came from 40, you know, when I was a kid, it was a million years. Now it's billions of years and they're never concrete and solid, right? Science is always changing, and it's always what I notice is science is always catching up to the Bible. And here we have Genesis. Okay, the word meaning in the beginning, right? The first three words that we have in our English Bible, in the beginning, or if you look at the definition of Genesis from the Greek translation, and you'll read in the New Testament, you'll have the idea of the origin, right? So this is the origin of all things. So you can come to God's word, you kids, right? And we can open this up, and we can have everything before us, and we can rely on what God says. Okay, that God created everything, right? He created the heaven and the earth. So everything you have, the material in your shoes, your body, the water, everything around us, God created. Okay, and so the title I have for tonight, guys, simply is by faith. Okay, that the message that would come out of Genesis chapter 1 would be faith and believing. Okay, because if I got to read this and take God at his word, because the outside, you know, the enemy, chapter 3, as Satan comes onto the scene, he's going to create doubt. He's going to question you. Did God really say, right? And that's going to be that every time you're trying to follow God and to serve him, you're going to always have, you know, Satan's going to come in and whisper, did God really say that you should do that or to go there? Or and you got to hold fast to the word of God. And so by faith. And so what is faith? Okay, let's get back to the basics. What does faith mean? Okay, the Greek word, you know, if you look at it, the noun is pistis, okay? And that simply means, if you really put it all into one phrase, it's the conviction of the truth of anything. So if you think of a noun, right, you think of, that's the meaning of that word, the conviction of the truth of anything, okay? And then we get the verb form of the word. You have that same word at a verb form, and we know what a verb is, right? There's an action, a word with an action, okay? So the action of faith, pistuo, is to think to be true or to be persuaded of and to place confidence in, okay? So there's a change of mind that happens. And so when we read John 3:16, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth, that's the pistuo, that verb, there's a conviction of the truth, right? That the Holy Spirit would convict you of this truth, but then there's an active change of mind. Repentance simply means when you hear somebody says repent and believe, right? Repent, and as you put that action in action of faith, there's a repentance that takes place because you're convicted of this truth and your mind is changing. So repentance, to repent, is that if you take a look at the word metanoia, when you see that word, that's the mind, and meta is the change. So a changed mind. So you take Jesus, you're convicted of your sin, that you're born in sin, and you've had that conviction in your life as you've been growing up, and you've heard this gospel, because I heard it and it was like, well, I'm a sinner. I was convicted of sin, and so I've placed my trust in Jesus and what he did on the cross for my sins. Because without that, like we talked about last week, that cord, that tikva that I had, I'm hanging on that hope. That cord of hope that I was hanging on to, that I grabbed onto Jesus' hand, I placed my trust in Jesus. Okay. And so considering Genesis 1, guys, Hebrews 11, let's look at faith. Okay. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. And this is kind of that anchor verse that I have for us as we enter into Genesis. And it says, verse 1, we're familiar with this. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And so that phrase of things hoped for is this Greek word elpizo, and it means to trust in, right? So if you're thinking of faith, that's that to trust in, right? And the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. As we come to verse 3 in Hebrews 11, as I look at this chapter, and it's by faith, right? I'm placing my trust that I understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Okay? So let's look at verse 1, chapter 1 of Genesis 1. And it says, in the beginning, barashit, right? Bara is to create. And that word means, if you look at it between asa and bara, this bara means it's created from nothing. So you can't, the world would try to say and try to blend the two, that there was a big bang and an explosion and everything came into existence. God created everything out of nothing. Think of that, okay? He spoke and everything came into existence. And in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There's an intent of purpose behind it. So God purposed that this would all come into being. And you think of God as a God of order, right? There was order behind it. And then we come to verse 2. So we have in the beginning God, and we know we've probably heard the word God in this verse is Elohim, El, the singular of God, and then Elah, duality, that Elohim is the triunity of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so on our foundation that we're building, our solid rock on Jesus. So Jesus, the foundation, Jesus was from the beginning. Okay, kids, right? So you can say, well, in the New Testament, as you open in Matthew, Okay, and Jesus was born, right? As we get to that Christmas story, you see Jesus is born in a manger and to the Virgin Mary. Okay, Jesus didn't start in Matthew in the New Testament. So you guys can look at this verse 1 and see that Jesus is in verse 1, Elohim, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay, so know this, little children, right, that Jesus is from everlasting. He didn't become Jesus when he was born in Bethlehem, okay, because he always was. He came from heaven and by the Holy Spirit was placed in the Virgin Mary and was born, right, supernaturally. So you think of that word, supernatural, and we have the supernatural creation of the heaven and earth that God created, okay? And so Jesus, so where is Jesus in all this as we talk? So if you look at Colossians 1, okay, so we look at scripture to interpret scripture, and we can take these and make them that I'm not just making this up. So you can look at Colossians and see for yourself that I'm not making this up, okay? So in the New Testament, Paul writing to the church of Colossae, you see in chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, well, I have 13 through 18, but really verse 16, it says, for by him, and this him that we're talking about is Jesus Christ, as Paul's talking to the church as they're born again by the blood of Jesus and what he did on the cross and rising from the dead, that for by him, Jesus Christ, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, speaking of Jesus Christ. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. And then you guys know John chapter 1, right? As we look at in the beginning was the Word, okay? We're looking at in the beginning, that origin of where all these things came from, Jesus Christ being that which by all things were made. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, speaking of Jesus. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Okay? So you think of Jesus, the light, right? And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God. Okay, as we go in, we'll look at the light and darkness as we get to chapter 2, and we're going to see darkness. So the point being that through Jesus, all things were made. Okay? Foundational. This is... As we talked about the Gospels, we're contending for the faith of the Gospel as there's all these other religions being formed, and you have the Jehovah's Witnesses. And if you look at John chapter 1, we talked about, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was their translation as they took from the Westcott and Hort, as we talked about. It translates it to say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was a God. Okay, they changed the article from the to a. So now I can say, well, he's a God. Well, there must be many gods, right? And that will pervert the gospel because Jesus is God, right? Himself, okay? That's hard to understand. The trite. How do you explain, one what, three who's? Okay, that's the mystery that we'll be learning for eternity as we're with God in heaven, as we get caught up, or as we die and go to be with Jesus. These are the things we're going to be learning for all of eternity. And so Psalm 19:2, to add to this before we really just get through these 6 days in chapter 1, it says the heavens, as you guys go outside and you look out, I was up early this morning, went outside, it was a clear morning, I saw all the stars and the beauty of what God created. And so through creation, I can be convicted of the truth that there must be a God that did all this. I couldn't have just been in a big explosion and just evolution and all these things they're trying to teach to pervert what God did. Okay, that's the contrast. So we do not blend and try to marry the two together, trying to marry science with God's word. You can't blend the two. A lot of people waste a lot of time by all these books they're writing to explain creation. And I come to it, and it's really, we have to take this by faith, okay? And as we looked at Thomas, as you know, as Jesus is resurrected and God is upbraiding them, the King James says, for their unbelief, you look at Thomas in John 20. What does Jesus say to Thomas? And if you think of the world, we're all trying to explain away creation, and we're trying to find the answers. We're trying to find science to explain to me, to really prove God. And Jesus simply goes to Thomas, and what does he say to Thomas Thomas says, unless I see it's John chapter 20, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and I put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And then after 8 days, Jesus, as he goes, and Jesus comes to him, and Thomas, he comes to Thomas and says, hey, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Look, Thomas, look, I really am risen. I am resurrected. And then Jesus says to Thomas, because you have seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So there's a blessing for us for just simply taking God at his word and believing what it says. And you don't have to go down all these things to go to, you know, to prove it, right? Everybody's trying to prove creation. Okay, where, you know, we have a lot to tackle here in Genesis that we had to go chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and that's what we're going to do, and we're going to just read. And so people are going to say, you know, 6 days, there's no way around that God did all this in six literal days, and let's see why. So as we, let's go in the beginning, verse 1, God created, again, guys, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay, who created everything? God created them. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the earth, verse 2, and the earth was without form and void. So notice it says, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Okay, and I look at that and I go, did God create darkness? Okay, it simply says, darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And I can't come here and say I know everything, okay? But I can look at this and simply go, what's going on here? In verse 2, something happens. And I believe what happens, if we look at what the Word of God, let's look at Isaiah 14. You can open up your Bible. You know, darkness was upon the face of the deep. So what happens here? Right? Okay, we have creation, we have all of this. We'll see Satan come in chapter 3 as he comes to create doubt and ask and tell Eve, did God really say these things to you, as we get there in chapter 3. But let's see what Isaiah 14 says. I've got 12 through 21, and then we'll also have Ezekiel 28's account. And let's see what this says. Okay. Isaiah 14, it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, speaking of Lucifer, this is a dual prophecy in Isaiah. And Lucifer said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. So did God, you know, God created Lucifer. You know, it's believed there's the three archangels, Gabriel, Michael. It's believed that Lucifer was one of the archangels. And he, in his heart, decided, he said in his heart, we'll look at the five I wills of Satan, of Lucifer. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. You know, think of the clouds, the Shekinah glory of God, putting himself above that, putting himself above the angels and charge over the angels, okay? I will be like the Most High, Lucifer said in his heart. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit, Isaiah said, that they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this, this is what we'll say, when we see Satan, we'll say, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners. All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden underfoot. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land, slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Okay, in Ezekiel 28, more about this. It says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus says the Lord God. Speaking of Lucifer, he says, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Okay, so when you think of Lucifer, we think of, you know, all the imagery. It's Halloween season right now. We drive around, we'll see everybody has this imagery of Satan as, you know, the pitchfork and the horns. And you really consider Satan and his, what he looks like. Look what God says. He was the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. He was adorned with every precious stone, sardius, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. Right? God created Lucifer. And, you know, the Mormons, they believe that Jesus, being the spirit brother of Lucifer, was created. Okay, we know Satan was created, and we're foundation. We're looking. Jesus is not created. He was from everlasting to everlasting, and you have the Word of God, and verse after verse to be solid on that belief. Okay, and you were on the holy mountain of God. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created. Now this verse, this part here, till iniquity was found in you. Okay? So iniquity was found in him by choice, right? The angels had a choice, and it's, you know, a third of the angels were cast down. Okay? And there was a verse here, let's see, did I have it written down? Looking at 1 John, I'm gonna open up 1 John, because we're going to get into verse 3, and it'll say after this, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, okay? 1 John 1, and to consider darkness, okay? Darkness is upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I don't know if you were listening to this morning, but you have darkness, and there's, you know, the importance of the Holy Spirit moved upon the face of the waters, that regenerating for us who are in darkness, okay? And we saw the light we received, and the Spirit of God is that convicted us and regenerated us. We need the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. But 1 John says, as you consider God, and I'm, you know, studying this out, and we have light, God just simply says, let there be light. Okay, verse 3, the first recorded words of what Jesus says, right? Verse 3, let there be light. And what does it say? And there was light. Verse 3, and now we have 1 John. We have, well, let's go to verse 5. This then is the message which we heard of him, speaking of Jesus, and declare unto you that God is light, okay? And in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is sin. His Son cleanses us from all sin by faith. By, you know, through faith we have this grace, right? Say it week after week. Verse 1 of 1 John, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, the word of life, speaking of Jesus. Okay, guys? The light of the world. God is light. And so there's this darkness. Now, something happens here. I believe in that instance there, Satan is cast unto earth, and now we have God working, and we have God said, let there be light, and there was light, verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, okay? In him is no darkness at all, and there's this darkness on the earth. And God said, and then before we get there, I thought this was kind of fun as you read this. Now, let there be, looking at that, the Hebrew, that let there be is a verb, okay? And it means to come to pass, to be light. And the Hebrew, this will be fun for you guys. Let there be in Hebrew is ha-yah, is how you pronounce it. So I'm reading this, I'm like, ha-yah, there, you know, let there be light. You know, so as you read that through, I know it's kind of fun to play with that. And then God said, and the let there be as we go through the days, ha-yah, ha-yah. But whatever, that was fun for me anyways. And God saw the light, that it was good. And let's see what I have here. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 6. Verse 6. With the light and the darkness. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The gospel, right? And God said, let's see what I... Yeah, we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. Okay, verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament. And that firmament is space, right? This expanse of space, air in the midst of the waters. In the midst. Okay, so before the flood, as we get to the flood and with Noah, you know, things are going to change. And so you look at what God's creating here, you know. Use your imagination. Read what God's word says, and it was different, right? And let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And so, I mean, if you just read what it says, there's an expanse of water, and then there's space, and then there's an expanse of water. And you see what, like, radiation does with the sun, as those things are, you know, for the earth, but, you know, water, you know, protecting the earth, you know, all that kind of stuff. But and God called that firmament, that space, heaven. Okay, God. Okay, did I miss in the evening and the morning were the first day? The first day, and now on the second day, this firmament, God divided the waters from the waters. Okay, but I think the point I want to make before I get too far ahead of myself is the evening and the morning. Okay. So there's no room. Yeah, I got a little bit ahead of myself, but forgive me. The evening and the morning were the first day, yom. And so you'll have people will say, well, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day with the Lord. And there's no way to get around this. If you're not that you're out there to argue with people, but as you know, as you are hearing things from the outside, you can just go put your mind back to the word of God, and you can go, no, that God's word says the earth, the heaven and the earth were created in 6 literal days. Okay, you can't blend the two to make them work together. You have God, the supernatural God who created all things out of nothing, and you can't blend the two. And so the point being is the evening and the morning were the first day. Okay, and growing up, you know, I would go, well, the sun and the moon weren't created until whatever the third or fourth day, and so you're trying to allow the argument to be made. Well, my literal day isn't until like the third or fourth day, so it could possibly be that there's this gap theory beforehand, and millions of years pass by, and otherwise, God's word would read differently. Well, God is light, and He let there be light. Okay, but there's evening and then there's morning, the first day. So have that solid in your heart as you have, and we have to take God literally at His word and the inerrancy of Scripture that we hold to, and you know, this supernatural work of God, guys, and it's so important for us to have that foundation. As we're working on this foundation by faith, I have to take God at His word and believe, and there's this blessing for those that believe without seeing, and we don't have to have it all scientifically. We don't have to have all these PhD letters and numbers behind the person's name to really look up to be like, wow, let me tell you about all my astrophysicist knowledge to explain Genesis to you. This is God's love letter to you, children, right? Kids, so when you, this is for you, okay? You don't need somebody, some amazing, brilliant person to explain this to you, because you can read this and go, no, the first day there was evening and there was morning. It doesn't say after 365 million evenings and mornings, then the second day. Simply, that's where, we're in the era of this Laodicean church that happened like in the 2000s. We're in the Laodicean church age as you look at Revelation 3 and this watered down, as we talked about all these new versions and Westcott and Hort and trying to twist scripture. And now that is all entered in, and we have the church trying to look like the world and trying to blend the world with the church. And us in these last days, as the Bible says that he's going to come quickly, or quickly is, more translated, suddenly. He's going to come suddenly, and we are to be holding those small Church of Philadelphia as he comes and catches us away, to hold to God's word, and that we wouldn't let somebody take our crown, that we're going to cast at his feet, okay? So hold to God's word. Stay out of those arguments of trying to make room and trying to, well, maybe between 2 and 3, maybe there could be all this. We could just say, no, all this creation happens in 6 literal days. Why would God put there was evening and then there was morning? That's one day. And however, what is time to God, right? God did this. And so by faith, this message today is, take this by faith. Take God at his word. And this is not for, a child can understand this, okay? And I can understand, this is God's love letter to me, Moses writing this. And I should say that too, as we come to this Genesis, Moses being the writer. How do I know that? Well, Luke 24, at the very end of Luke, says, from the beginning of Moses and then all the prophets, the Pentateuch, these are penned by Moses. And you can read your Haley's handbook, right? Ooh, that was a tongue twister. And, read some of that. How did Moses get this? And he's inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this. Whether there was tablets and all these things passed down from generation, as we look at the genealogies from Adam and all these accounts, and, Moses being inspired by the Holy Spirit, the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit to put this on paper for us, and it's reliable, and it's never failed, as we're exhorted to get back on the old path, right? We're get back to our old Bibles, and we have so many resources to be able to get to these words, see the meanings of them, and just get back to what God's word says. And so I think that's what this Genesis study for us, guys, is, that we can just go and we'll just read through this and let's see what it says, and we can just be firm. God made everything in 6 literal days. Verses 6, as we are looking at the second day, he made the firmament and divided the waters, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place. Okay, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. And the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. Verse 11. And God said, okay, Hayya, let there bring forth earth. From the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And then again, and the evening and the morning were the third day. 3 days in. So God creating all this, God said by the word of God speaking forth, let there be. Supernaturally, God creates this. Okay, Verse 14, and God said again, Haya, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven. Okay? Lights in the firmament of the heavens, the lights we have. Now you think of God. Imagine all the stars as you go out tonight. Maybe we'll have a clear night tonight. And you see each of those stars. God says that he has every star by name. Okay, think of that. Think of how big and majestic God is. Okay, allow your mind to just, you know, can you grasp just how big and awesome God is? And all this created out of nothing. Okay, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Okay, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God creating these things, imagine the sun and the moon and for all these signs. Okay. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Okay? So you look at that and go, well, maybe that's when years enter in. But how do you get away from the first day? And the evening and the morning were the first day. Okay? God is light. Right? There was evening and there was morning. Darkness was on the face of the deep. Verse 1. Okay? Take God at his word. There's six literal days. And God said, verse 20, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures. Okay, we're on day 5. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the waters, the sea, the moving creature that has life and fowl. The fowl, those are the birds. When you see F-O-W-L, the fowl, that those are birds. And every winged fowl after his kind. And brought forth abundantly their kind, the winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And I think if you look up the living creatures in the sea, you know, I think it's like more like sea monsters, right? You have it just filled with the seas of all of these creatures in the seas. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day, yom, right? And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, okay, now we're on to day 6, creature after his kind, cattle, okay, and creeping thing, and beast of the earth. There's the dinosaurs, okay? These beasts, okay? Think of the Flintstones. If you look at the Flintstones, you have the, you know, Fred, you know, they've got it more accurate than a lot of the world does. You have these dinosaurs. I mean, it's what God's word says, okay? The beasts of the earth, okay? The cattle. You have those land beasts. Those are considered beasts, but the beasts of the earth. You have dinosaurs, and you have all kinds of creatures that God makes here. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, verse 26, let us make man in our image. Okay, who's us? Okay. There's another verse there. I remember when I was a kid, probably 18, 19, arguing with, I think it was a Mormon even then, and I called my grandpa and I was trying to reconcile, and I remember distinctly, he told me to open up my Bible, go to Genesis 1, and he told me, go to verse 26, and he told me, read it to me. And he said, let us make man in our image. And he said, who is us? Well, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And you think of the unity of God. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl, the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Okay? Man and woman. God's idea, God created them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. You know, as you think of God creating the earth, God created us this house, as it were, as he does all this for our good. And you think of, and why did God do all this? God, you know, we'll get there. And so, and God said, behold, I've given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, so you shall have it for meat. You know, guys that are into things that they want to do, we'll put it at that, they'll use this verse to say, well, look what it says. I should be free to take of the yielding seed of the earth and twist scripture. But when you're ever dealing with any substance that is mind altering, you know, as you kids, as you're growing up, as you're going to work and you're working in places with people that like to do drugs, right? We'll just say it, drugs, and are saying maybe they're Christians, and they'll go to this verse, hey man, God said, partake of any seed yielding herb and all this, and mind altering drugs and hallucinogenics, right? The sorceries, God says. That's partaking of sorcery and pharmakia. And God tells us to be sober, be of sober mind. And so, word of God, have that, right, for you. And to every beast, verse 30, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat to eat. All right, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made. Okay, and notice, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So creation, okay? We'll get to day 7 next week as we get into chapter 2, but, you know, dealing with creation, guys, I've already said, but as we close tonight, creation, okay? Don't try to marry man's wisdom with the Word of God. Don't try to win over your friends and win over your coworkers by trying to give room for ideas and theories, right? Even the idea of, well, maybe there's a gap theory and there's a quadrazillion years that take place in between there, okay? That's a theory, right? A theory is just an idea that seems, but according to the circumstances around them, to be a good idea, but it's not proven fact, okay? We have the fact. And I have to take this by faith, okay? I have to be convicted. I go out and the heavens declare the glory. The heavens, Psalm 19, guys, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork day unto day, utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. And you can go out and, you know, if I told my kids their messy room, okay, and told them, well, it's all out of order, and told them to throw a grenade in that room, and boom, it'll all go back into order. No, God put everything in order, okay? And we got to be those contending for the faith of the gospel to go out and stand on this, okay? So stand on God's word and you have everything you need. God, you know, Peter tells us we have everything that pertains to life and godliness, and that's in God's word as we are exhorted. I hope you're exhorted to stand on this. You know, don't doubt. You don't need to have all the scientific explanations to then I'll believe. Okay, like Thomas, prove to me this, then I'll believe. Okay, take this by faith. So today's message is take it by faith, and what it is to trust in God's word, and God's word is rich. And so we'll get into the day of rest next week, and Adam and Eve, and so Lord, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for giving us all that we need to understand and to believe that you created all things in 6 days. You created them. And so thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for that working of the Holy Spirit as we were in darkness and your spirit hovered around us, moved on us, moved our hearts to be convicted of the truth, to believe in the gospel that you died on the cross for our sins. I'm convicted of my sin, Lord, and I've placed my trust and repented. I changed my mind and believed in you. So God, thank you for your word and your plan and your origin of everything. Thank you for showing us where everything came from and that you were there from everlasting to everlasting, and you are God, and we come, and that's why we gather to be strengthened in the simplicity of your word. So we love you, we exalt you, and we thank you for this night. God, we pray for those in this university, they would make their way in here to hear what God says, what you say about all this, and where sin came from, and where redemption and where the redemption plan came from. And it came from you and your love and your grace. So do a work here in Grand Forks, Lord, and use us, Lord. Use vessels, Lord, for your use, Lord, that you would use us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.